Although our country is still very much identified as one nation under God, the truth is the number of non-religious Americans is rising. Back in the 1950s, fewer than 5% of Americans were non-religious. Today, that figure has jumped to 30%. Drawing on sociological research and extensive in-depth interviews with men and women across the country, sociologist Phil Zuckerman's new book, Living the Secular Life, illuminates this demographic shift with the moral convictions that govern secular individuals. Phil Zuckerman is a professor of sociology and secular studies at Pitzer College in Claremont, California. He is the author, most recently, of Faith No More, While People Reject Religion and Society Without God. He writes for Psychology Today, and again, the new book is Living the Secular Life, New Answers to Old Questions. It's published by Penguin Press, and it's a pleasure to welcome Phil Zuckerman to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Very nice to have you here and to discuss this topic. What did you want to explain in this volume that you have not in previous work in writing about this subject?
Well, I guess there were two things. The first is, you know, the fact that there are more and more non-religious people in the world, in America, today, now more than ever before in our nation's history. I mean, there's 20 to 30, possibly 30% non-religious. This is unprecedented. So that's been known. That's not news. But what I was trying to argue is that this is actually a good thing. So it's not something to be feared. It's not something to be decried or deplored or worried about, but that actually a secular culture brings to the table a lot of positive attributes and benefits to society, and it's not something for my fellow Americans to be worried about. That's number one. And then number two was a sort of, I guess, maybe a more intellectual question was, you know, religion provides so much for people and has throughout history. Traditionally, it's provided community and morals and ethics and answers to the big questions about life and meaning and death, et cetera, comfort in the face of suffering. So if we've now got more and more people in the world than ever before saying they're non-religious, well, then how do they get these things that religion's provided throughout history? How do they deal with death? How do they find meaning? How do they develop morals and ethics? How do they raise their kids? So, you know, on the one hand, I guess a bit polemical, I just wanted my fellow Americans to know, you know what? This rise of secularism is actually a good thing for our democracy. And number two, trying to understand just what it means to live life without religion.
The subtitle, as I mentioned, New Answers to Old Questions. So what old questions did you have in mind?
There were so many. I can think of two here.
Good.
How about let's just start with the pleasant subject of death on this fine day. You know, death is the universal bummer for all cultures and all humans. It hangs over our heads at all times. And so religion traditionally tried to deal with that and it tried to provide comfort for that and answers and explanations for what happens when we die. And most of the world believes that something else occurs. We either go somewhere or we get reincarnated or something like that. And yet, we are now seeing in the statistics that more and more people are not believing this anymore. They think this is it. They are not clinging to the hope of an afterlife. They are not yearning for an eternity in the heavens. They are not so sure that, you know, bad people get punished in hell. They are having a more this is it approach, and I think that's going to have various philosophical ramifications, psychological ramifications, sociological ramifications of what does that mean then if more and more humans are thinking, you know what, this time on this planet, this is my time, and this is it. And what we're finding is it does not create despondency, depression, or nihilism. It actually creates a very vital appreciation. It spurs people to get as much meaning out of this life as they can, to enjoy it as much as they can, and to really, I guess, suck the marrow out of existence. So contrary to sort of fears that, oh, if people don't believe in life after death, they'll be despondent, we're actually finding that it increases a sort of here and now-ness that is beneficial. how about morals? You know, for most people, the notion that, you know, morals come from God or morals come from religion has held sway, and yet more and more people are not developing or turning or relying upon God or religion for their to help with their moral compasses. They are relying on their own life experiences, their own interactions with others, and sort of predicating their morality on treating other people the way they want to be treated, which is, you know, doesn't require belief in anything supernatural. It's actually a kind of durable and universal golden rule based on empathetic reciprocity. So I can go on and on, but those are sort of two biggies right there.
You write in the book about how through this increase in people who are living a non-religious life, that there is that they are building institutions, they are cultivating relationships without a religious influence. So much of what religion has done for people and the void that it often fills in people's lives is being replicated in a secular way.
Yeah, as a non-believer myself, I've always still nonetheless appreciated the community aspect of religious life, the getting together with people that you otherwise wouldn't, you know, people
right.
in different jobs, different demographics, different age ranges, and yet when you come together, it enhances a sense of well-being, it increases social capital, it provides a certain sustenance to life that really you can only get from being part of a group, and I think it's the positive health benefits are abundant on that front. But what has happened is a lot of people have stopped believing. They maybe were raised in a certain religion. They got to college or at some point in their teenage years or early 20s, and they no longer could believe in the supernatural doctrines. They didn't agree with perhaps the political perspective that was being put forth from the pulpit, and something caused them to intellectually or cognitively not want to be part of it anymore. But then what happens? They get kids, and suddenly they're no longer they suddenly miss that and need that and yearn for that sense of community. So there are various options out there, traditionally, or not traditionally, but what most people will do is, well, they just kind of go to the local church and plug their nose. So they just kind of, you know, deal with the stuff that they don't like because they enjoy the benefits of being part of a community. But because the numbers have risen so dramatically, more and more people being secular, and with the help of the internet, they have found each other and have tried to create humanist communities that sort of replicate the good of religion in their eyes, the community aspects, without what they consider to be the bad, the supernatural beliefs or the you know, the repressive political positions. So yeah, they are in a sense replicating what they find in religious life, and I think the jury's out on whether these will be successful or not. I've certainly spent some time there as a researcher and participant and found them to be very positive. Whether they'll be able to really create something that lasts over the years is an open question.
You use the term secular much more in the book than you do atheist. How do you see the two different?
You know, to me, secular just broadly means non-religious, someone who doesn't identify as religious, someone that doesn't participate in a lot of religious rituals or activities, someone who maybe doesn't do anything that's religious in terms of behaviors or belonging or participation or identification. However, they still might maintain a personal spirituality that's perhaps hard to articulate, but they're not devoid of anything that we might call spiritual or otherworldly beliefs or sentiments. An atheist is simply someone who lacks a belief in God or gods. It's a very narrow definition. Atheists tend to be philosophically convinced in their position. They are, you know, they don't believe in God. They tend to think people who do believe in God are delusional. So atheists are definitely part of the secular tent, but not all secular folks are atheists. They might be agnostic. They might be spiritual, but not religious. They might be humanists or just simply emphasizing other aspects of their worldviews rather than the limited question of whether or not they believe in God.
So this book comes out during the holiday season. I assume that's not coincidence.
No, not that I had any role of it, but my publisher certainly did.
Why? So the point being what?
Well, you know, I just got a review from a guy who founded the Military Association of Atheists and Freethinkers. And he wrote a review on his blog saying, this is the perfect gift to give to your religious family and friends because it explains who we are and what you are. I really was not trying to get into the God debate here. I'm not trying to disabuse people of their religious affiliation. I'm not out ripping religion apart. I think religion does a lot of good in a lot of ways for a lot of people. But what I'm trying to articulate is secular culture is also full of goodness. It is not nothing. It is not amoral. It is not an absence of something. It is full of positive values and virtues and social behaviors and lived experiences that are good for the country and good for society. And I wanted to, spread that good news, that this rise of secularism isn't something to be feared. And so this book, I think, while I think it could comfort and help a lot of secular people in terms of various philosophical aspects or even factual points for debate, it's also something that I think you could very easily hand to a religious person and say, hey, you know, this is where I'm coming from or this is where we're coming from. And I think it's going to open up a conversation rather than start a hostile debate.
Phil Zuckerman's new book is Living the Secular Life, New Answers to Old Questions. The book is published by Penguin Press. Phil Zuckerman, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Living the Secular Life by Phil Zuckerman. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.